The following
Welcome to Practically
is
Magic. This
Mind
is
the
Courtney
Media.
Pearl, pagan witch, card reader, healer, spiritualist, Celtic priestess, teacher, artist, and mystic seeker. I am discovering true and real magic in the world, and I wish to share it with you. So let's begin. Our episode always starts out with a card reading. That is something that I do, card healer and card reader. I use intuitive card reading as one of my many practices. You can book appointments with me, and I can do them from anywhere over the phone or video chat. So if you're interested in booking me or booking a session with me, that is one of the many services that I provide. And today, we're going to start by pulling a card. Today's episode topic is going to be on trauma in the body and the effects of that. And so I specifically want to pull a card for those of you who have maybe been dealing with physical issues, illnesses, or things like that, and see what this card that we're pulling today is going to say for you. What is it that you need to know? And I am using the Ethereal Visions deck, one of my very first and favorite tarot decks that I love because it has a beautiful gold foil, and I love things that are shiny and have gold, copper, silver foil on it. It's just magical, shiny things. And the card that I've pulled today is the Five of Wands, which is very interesting because it does have an essence of turmoil when the number five shows up. And this card specifically is very interesting, and it's almost comical to me because it's a group of five men. At least in this card, it's always they're male. So they're boys. None of them have facial hair. So I get the impression that they're young, youthful boys. They are standing in a circle, each of them holding wooden sticks, wands. And they are sort of, they look like they're just maybe standing in a circle, kind of hitting each other or maybe playing combat with each other with these swords. Wands, not swords. I'm having a lovely time with words today. So the impression that I get, especially when this card is being pulled with an aspect of I want to talk about physical symptoms, physical embodiment of our stress and our trauma. And I want to say that this card is telling you specifically that when you are looking for the cause of your symptoms, when you're looking for diagnosis and you've been going and getting tests done and you're trying to figure out what is off balance, what is not quite right, where is the source of these symptoms that I'm having, it kind of feels like you just keep going around in circles and circles and circles. Like every time you see a specialist, the doctor is like, well, actually, it could be this other thing. So we need to go to a different specialist. And then there's another symptom that is related to another symptom that's related to another symptom. So it feels a lot like this energy of like, I'm just going around in circles and never quite accomplishing what I need health-wise to get this figured out. It feels like it's just one issue after another. And that is very tumultuous. This is very like kind of fairness. It's kind of a low vibe card because it's sort of invokes a feeling of like frustration. It feels like there's a lot of energy being put into this, but not enough is coming from it. Not enough is getting done. Not enough information is being figured out to actually set you on a trajectory to good health. And if that feels like that is what this card means for you, if that feels like it resonates with you, then this episode is going to be absolutely perfect to discuss with you today. Because we are going to talk about how trauma, specifically stress, or even just things and events that have happened in our lives, how they can actually affect us physically. And I'd like to start out with a little story time. And the story that I picked today is folk. It's a folk tale from Scotland. And I don't know if you know about the Selkie folklore, but in Scotland and a lot of places that are sort of Celtic inspired, there is folklore and legends about the Selkie. The Selkie are mythical creatures that are basically seals. It comes from the word that means seals. And they are seals that can shed their skin. And if they shed their seal skin, then they are like humans underneath. So they live in the ocean, they live in the sea, but they can shed their skin and they can come up on land. And there's a particular famous story about a Selkie where a man catches glimpse of these group of Selkies dancing in the moonlight, and he finds this sight captivating. And there's one particular Selkie woman he can't keep his eyes off of. And it just so happens that she's one of the last ones to put her Selkie skin back on, as all the rest of them have gone into the ocean. And so he's able to snatch her skin away, and she has no choice but to go with him. And they get married. It's sort of a Beauty and the Beast situation, or maybe the Little Mermaid. She comes from the ocean and she's now human. And so they get married and have children. And all this time, she's sort of trapped in this life because he has stolen her skin and hidden it away where she can't find it. So she is always feeling called back to the sea, always feeling like her true home and her true self is to be the seal in the sea. And eventually, one of her children, her son, comes to her as she's sweeping or doing some kind of housework that, you know, the women folk do. Her son comes to her with the Selkie skin that he's found. He's uncovered it in his adventures. And so she has a choice to make. She has been a human or living as a human for many years, and she's sort of torn between going back to the ocean and being where she's always wanted to be, or to be here with her children. And ultimately, the call to be in the ocean is too great. And she takes the skin and she runs. And the husband comes home just in time to see her entering the ocean, entering the waters, putting on her Selkie skin. And he and the children watch as she goes off into the sunset. And it's a sad story. It has so much symbolism and so much meaning. But in this particular topic today, I bring this story forward because there is something about a call to each of us that is bringing us back to ourselves. There is an embodiment that, just like putting on the Selkie skin or taking it off to be human, one or the other, it's still like metaphorically we are all learning how to answer the call to our true selves. And our conscious mind doesn't always remember everything. Right? Our long-term memory has been sorted through, and it's a memory of a memory of a memory of a memory. They say that when you're remembering something from the past, you're not actually remembering that moment or that event. You're remembering the last time you remembered it. So everything that happened to you is sorted through these filters, and some of those messages are filtered into your subconscious and become a part of your body. So your conscious mind is not always going to remember everything that happened to you and every detail exactly as it was, but your body does remember. Your body holds information, and it's really important to understand that the ailments and the disease and the sickness and the pains and the aches and all of the things that happen to us physically are not happening independently of our entire well-being. And I bring this up because the difference between Western medicine and Eastern medicine oftentimes is that here where we practice Western medicine in North America, Turtle Island, we are often compartmentalizing health in such large disparities. Like, we have the medical health system. Of course, if you're having medical issues and you need a medical doctor, you would go to an expert in that field. And so it's, you're getting information that is very much in that realm when you go to a medical doctor. You might try a naturopathic doctor, which incorporates a little bit more of Eastern medicine, a little bit more of the naturopathic route to healing. But for the most part, you're going to go to separate people for separate aspects of your hearing. And if you are having symptoms of an illness, you would go to a medical doctor. It may not occur to you to maybe go see a psychiatrist, because that would be for mental health issues. It may not occur to you to go to your spiritual leader, your church authority person, or whoever you deem to be your spiritual authority, because that person would probably tell you to go see a doctor. They would say, I don't know why you're having these symptoms, go see a doctor. But in Eastern medicine, it's much more blended. Their culture understands health to be much more interconnected. It's like, if you are having physical symptoms, yes, there is probably a medical reason, and there's definitely ways to go about figuring out what's going on there. But it's not only medical. There's definitely spiritual, emotional, and all of those things are connected. And so when I started doing my work and learning about the healing arts and emotional and energy healing, went to the Institute of Healing Arts, and we had several books that were required reading in our program. And it helped us to learn how these physical things in our body, how it can hold energy, and that where these physical things are happening, whether it's because of an injury or because of an illness or because of genetics, whatever the reason is, it is more than just a medical answer to uncovering what that could be. And that when we approach it with, okay, let's try and dig into what the emotional or blocked energy that's trapped in that part of the body might be, there's an aspect of healing that can be very productive. And this is not to say that you shouldn't go to a medical doctor, because I firmly and highly believe in Western medicine as well, but they're not trained in that same way. They're not trained to know about all of those other things that could be going on too. And so this is sort of like my plug to say, if you are having illnesses you don't understand, or the doctors can't seem to find an answer for, it might do you some good to go looking in another route as well, in addition to. And that's where Reiki healing and emotional processing, some of the work that I do, is really useful and helpful in that area. So we were able to learn a lot about how stress can affect the body. And I don't think I'm stretching here to ask you to believe that. I think most people can buy into the fact that stress does a number on our body. But I'm going to explain some of the things that come from one of the books we had to read, which is Your Body Doesn't Lie by John Diamond, MD. And he explains it in the book this way. You have a gland that's right in the center of your chest called the thymus gland. And back when they first started doing autopsies, you know, a few centuries ago, they thought that children might have been dying from an enlarged thymus gland, because they didn't actually know what the thymus gland did. So they saw the thymus gland in adults and it was much smaller, and in children it was much bigger. Come to find out that it's actually supposed to be big, that it was shrunken in adults because it shrinks and it is affected quite strongly by stress. That the more a person has emotional stress, it's a physical result that the thymus gland shrinks. And we do not want our thymus gland to shrink, because the thymus gland is a factory for T cells, which are those really amazing white blood cells that fight off disease, bacteria, and cancer cells. So that just proves that there's a direct result that the more stress we add to ourselves, little by little over time, if we're not processing our trauma, processing our emotions, if we're not addressing those things in a healthy way, they do become stress that affects our body and causes disease. There's also a really cool example of how energy flows through the body. And again, in Eastern medicine, this is not new information at all. It's something that the Chinese call the qi. It's they understand the flow of that qi in the meridians of the body, which is what acupuncture does, is help unblock the flow. And this is a really cool thing called muscle testing or kinesiology. This is something I use quite regularly in my sessions with clients, which is that your body will lose energy when something is adding stress to the body. And therefore, something that is untrue to the body, whether the mind knows it or not, if the body knows it to be untrue, it causes stress and it loses energy. And then you can use muscle testing to actually feel that loss of energy, because the muscles will no longer be able to hold a strong position that they've had a loss in energy. So if you didn't see my interview with Radio Daybreak when I was on their podcast, I actually did a demonstration of this with Bex, and I was able to push down on her arm. And when she holds her non-dominant arm out, I can give it a little push, not much. I'm not pushing very hard. I'm just giving it a little pressure. And if she's able to hold that arm up, it's a strong test. But if I say a statement, or if she says a statement that's not true or that loses energy for the body, then I can push exact same amount of pressure and it will go weak. You'll actually feel the muscles go weaker. And a lot of people use muscle testing for a variety of things, but this is a great tool for understanding. And again, it's practically magic. I mean, you can actually ask your body so many cool things, like what sort of vitamins you need, how often do you need to take them, for how long, for how many days, what's the duration? And you can narrow that down very specifically to figuring out what is it that the body needs, what sort of nourishment, what sort of emotional processing needs to be done. So when I do an emotional process with a client, I am using muscle testing to muscle test what emotion points are needing to be addressed. So I will go through a series of heavy emotions, low vibration emotions, and then I will use my muscles to muscle test what my client needs. And I can do this actually remotely. I don't have to use their muscles for their body. I can actually use my muscles for their body remotely. Now, what's important to understand is that our bodies are going to carry stress and carry the energy of those heavy things in different places and in different ways. And those can be a clue to help us understand. Now, I would have normally given like a warning at the beginning of this episode if I was going to discuss specific trauma, but I am not going to discuss specific trauma. In fact, even psychotherapists and psychologists and psychiatrists cannot 100% classify what is trauma and what isn't. And I know this to be true in my sessions with clients, is that something as simple as a really bad haircut when you were young can be trauma to you. And that is not to be laughed at. That is not to be dismissed. It is valid, because trauma is only classified as what is heavy and emotional to you, to your experience. So it doesn't have to be any of the, what we sometimes call capital T trauma experiences that you might think of when I say the word trauma. It can be literally anything that comes to mind. And I have done whole emotional process sessions and several emotional process sessions on something that someone else might consider to be very lowercase t trauma, right? So When I am helping a client in a Reiki session move energy through the body, and I'm using that hands-on or hovering hands, moving energy through and out in the body where it needs to go. When I'm doing emotional processing sessions, and I'm doing this with visualization of pulling out shapes and colors, I am taking note of where in the body these aches and pains and dis-ease is happening. And by the way, the word disease is just dis-ease, right? So it can be anything that is not ease in the body. So from before you were born to present day, the body's genetics play a role. Every experience that the mother, when you're in the womb, your mother is having during the time that you're developing in the womb, epigenetics, how your genetics, how other influences like your environment and experiences play a role in how your genetics show up is epigenetics. All of this plays a part in becoming who you are, in how you arrive to who you are today. And so I use a lot of feeling, intuition, asking questions, things that might have happened. Even when I'm asking clients to access a certain image in their past, and I say, what might have happened at 4 years old? Their conscious memories don't necessarily have to play a role in it. Actually, my very first process session that I ever did was in the womb. So the facilitator asked me, okay, so I have muscle tested your age for this session would be 3 months in the womb. And I don't have any memories of 3 months in the womb. I don't know about you, but I can't just pull that out of thin air and just be like, oh, I totally remember what it was like to be 3 months a fetus in the womb. But what I was able to do was, based on what I knew about my mom's pregnancy with me and what I felt coming forward. Because all that really matters is not that what information we're moving through and processing through is technically correct, or it has to be like proven that that's what it was, what was going on, but you are going to go with what your body is feeling. It's a very intuitive process. So it's very much like, I know that my little baby self is feeling a lot of pressure because I knew that I was coming into a family with a lot of criticism, and I was already feeling pretty hard on myself, even though I wasn't born yet. And I had an amazing emotional process session pulling a lot of that heaviness out. That to me was the trauma that I was healing and moving. And you can get into some questions that a lot of people have about the spirituality aspect of this type of healing work, this type of magical healing work, which is, did we choose what we were going to do in this life? Is there maybe a pre-existence where our spirit or our soul is deciding what body to inhabit and do a human existence and experience in? And then if so, do we choose the obstacles that we sign up for? And how much of what we've experienced is our fault? Because for a lot of healing work that I have encountered with people, they take almost everything as their fault. And they're deciding at young, young ages that they got to choose and they deserve to what they got. And that's a lot of heaviness to put on your own shoulders as a young, young child. And then carry that through to your adult age is, I'm going to place all that on my own self. So I want to propose this sort of debate that, if we're going to debate that, whether or not that's chosen, or we go through this life with those obstacles and we chose those obstacles in a pre-existence or not, and set that aside and say, whether it is or it isn't, I can decide to heal. And I can decide to use that as information. that if there is some things that I do actually have power to change, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to move that energy out and move that and take that as information. For example, I'm going to use examples of my own healing experience. For me, when I started doing a lot of this kind of healing work for myself, I realized pretty early on that I was holding a lot of shame in my body. And if you remember the episode we talked about, the book Power versus Force, the energy level of shame is the lowest on the energy level that was even on the scale. So holding energy in the body, that's going to be a very low vibe. Shame is going to show up as not productive at all. But it was showing up for me as, or what it often shows up for most people, is stomach aches. Not being able to digest my food very well and always having issues with what foods I can eat. And I pretty much spent every single evening, and it always hit me in the evenings because it was like after a day of whatever meals that I ate that day, I would spend almost every single evening just in pain. In doubled over pain, trying to figure out what I ate that day that was causing so much discomfort for me. And I pretty much just stopped eating every day after 4 o'clock. I would say 4 o'clock is the cutoff. If I haven't eaten what I'm going to eat for the day by 4 o'clock, that's it, because I don't want to be in pain all night long and not be able to sleep. It also shows up on the body, which I found out on the face. And I had terrible skin problems for most of my adulthood. It's not that I had terrible acne as a teenager that much, but I had a terrible habit of having breakouts on my face and then picking at them and like couldn't leave it alone. And eventually it was just, I had to accept that like I was just always going to have bad skin. But when doing a lot of emotional processing and moving the energy of shame out of my body one process at a time, each time I was able to address moments of trauma in my life that allowed that shame to enter my body and to become a decision that I was not worthy, I was not good enough, all of that, those deep-rooted belief systems that were in my body, like programs I had downloaded, once I was able to move that out, I started to feel so much better. And I mean, this is after years of seeing doctors, dermatologists, using almost every medical grade dermatology creams and cleansers that I possibly could get my hands on. Several years of trying to figure out what was going on with my stomach and, you know, what I could and couldn't eat and narrowing down my diet, all of these things that I was doing. And it was just not enough, not helping enough for me to heal, for me to actually feel better. There is a lot of really cool information about how different energies manifest in the body. And I want to go back and reference, because we've ran out of time, on a previous episode, we had Amanda McCombs, Mrs. Daybreak, as one of our guest speakers. And if you haven't listened to that episode, I would like you to do that, because we talked a lot about some of the physical things that she had been experiencing with shingles. She had a really bad case of shingles that went through her sinuses. And she's still always kind of dealing with that. And so when she was on my show, I said, would you mind if we talked about that? And do you mind if we look up some of the emotional energy connections to that? And she gave me permission. So I just want to clarify that I wouldn't normally talk about a client or anything that they're going through and share that information, but I did get special permission this time because she was a guest on the show. And I looked up shingles in a book that I use for referencing these things, which is called Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. And I will put those resources in my blog on my website. So it says here, shingles can be connected and associated with fear, things that won't work out the way you want, being overly sensitive, ongoing tension concerning a situation, hostile energy being manifest, lack of inner peace, and recurring problems of unworthiness. And as I read that list to her, she was very much resonating with that. She felt like those were things that she definitely wants to bring forward in her healing journey and would want to work on maybe in whatever modality she's seeking out for that. And that doesn't go without saying working with a doctor and a specialist that helps with those symptoms and with that condition. But knowing and being aware is the first step. Knowing what might be coming forward, what might be connected to that, and then working through that is a whole aspect of medicine that we're sort of missing when we only go to doctors, because they only know and specialize in the things that they were taught in medical school, like the science and the biology of it, the anatomy, symptoms, treatments, things like that. Whereas when I have a client come to me for a Reiki session and I'm able to help go back to a childhood age, or I'm able to just pull out, do some drumming over their body, breaking up that energy and moving it out of the body, replacing it with positive affirmations, this is all an aspect of healing that gets overlooked and sometimes dismissed because it's not conventional. And it's not something we're raised in our culture to believe in our Western medicine culture. And so just to close up, to give my last thoughts on this, is you may not be ready to face everything you've experienced. If you've been through some very clear trauma that you can pinpoint exactly what that might be, you may only want to receive what is missing. At first, you may only be ready to address what you are ready to address. So if emotion processing or Reiki session sounds a little bit scary to you because you're really not ready to look deeper into certain things, let me reassure you that in a session with me, your body will not bring forward anything that it is not ready to release. And you might be thinking, well, of course I want to release it. Who wants to hold that in their body? And actually, the answer would surprise you, because a lot of times when I'm moving out something like fear, I do have clients that have resistance to moving fear out, mostly because their game is, I need to hold on to fear to keep me safe. Fear is going to protect me. And anything that your body's not ready to get rid of, there's usually a reason. And so sometimes I have clients that will do sessions and they're not ready to really pinpoint the trauma exactly, but they might be willing to look at time or events or feelings or emotions surrounding in the before and after a certain age or event. So your body, when muscle testing for you to bring up what is you need to address or heal in a session, it will only bring up what you're ready to bring up. And you will not need to rely on your memories for deep healing because your body will always remember. So when you are ready to feel it, you will be ready to heal. I'm trying to make that rhyme.
Perfect.
Now we could go into a lot more really cool facts about how things like yoga, dance, movement, meditation, movement can really be a great way to release the trauma that's held in certain parts of the body. But I'm going to save that just for some more resources that I'm going to put on my blog. So if you loved this discussion, you love this episode, and you're like, more please, then I would encourage you to go to my website, prismhealing.com. And on the tabs at the top, you'll see blog. And all of my website resources will be there. So it will be shortly after this episode airs, I will have this episode's additional information and resources there. And then you can always look on my website under services if there's any of those emotional processing or Reiki sessions that you would like to book with me. And I always, always encourage you to take a look at my website to see what the services are, to learn a little bit more about them, and to reach out to me if you have any questions and you're not sure what to do, because I will do a 30-minute free consultation with anyone who wants to learn more. So I very highly encourage that. But we're going to go to our question from a listener, and I specifically picked a question from a listener this week that would kind of coincide with our topic today, because I feel like that would be really beneficial if you're already listening to this topic. And the question is, I struggle with handling emotions because my own parents were emotionally immature. How do I begin to heal so I can be better for my own children? And that is going to lead us so beautifully from this topic into next week's topic. So let me answer that question, and then we'll talk about what's next week. When you are hearing yourself, when you are working on becoming more emotionally mature and raising your emotional intelligence, you are going to be better at handling interactions with your parents. You're going to be able to handle things that normally trigger you better. And you are already going to handle situations with your children. So I always encourage, when that feels overwhelming, to think about, oh my gosh, I have to interact with my parents who are emotionally mature. Maybe they are the type of parents where anytime you bring anything up, they're like, oh, well, I guess I was just a terrible mother, and they dismiss it. Or they get very defensive, or they're a little bit neglectful. They don't want to listen to your emotions. They don't like it when you get emotional. They sort of have always avoided that. There's a lot of aspects to emotionally immature parents, but if you know your parents are emotionally immature, it can be very triggering for you. And it can trigger in you what you emotionally have not addressed. So my biggest advice is to work on yourself, work on what it means to be most emotionally mature, meaning that You might be able to sit with uncomfortable emotions in yourself and your parents and your children for longer periods while not taking it personally. It might look like that. It might look like just being aware of when you're triggered, aware of when you feel annoyed, resentful, frustrated, when you feel like you really just want to get out of the situation and avoid it altogether, because you might feel like that with your children if they're holding a space that's incredibly highly emotional, a tantrum, for example. And so when we do our own healing work, there is a ripple effect that sort of comes out generationally in all directions, from our ancestors who came before us and our descendants who come after us. And so you really are breaking chains and breaking patterns that are going to result in a world healing, an epidemic of healing. And so I have two books that I would like to put out there as recommendation. I just heard this author as a guest on another podcast I listened to. It's called Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents by Dr. Lindsay C. Gibson. And then I highly recommend Good Inside by Dr. Becky Kennedy. It's a parenting book, but I kind of feel like it's like disguised as a parenting book, and actually it's a self-healing book. So if you want to follow them or look them up, that is some great resources for you if you're looking at like, where do I begin? How do I start building boundaries? How do I start interacting differently? And my personal advice, start working on your own self-awareness and your own healing. That brings us to next week's topic, which is going to be generational healing. One of my absolutely favorite topics in the whole world, which is, how does generational healing help you? And how does it play a part in your being able to be magical person that you are in your life? Because the more that you break those patterns, the more you are able to wield the magic that is already you, that you hold inside you. It is a really important part of healing. It is something that is a large part of the work that I do when I do healing sessions with people. So I cannot talk about healing in general without talking about generational healing, or as some people call it, ancestral healing. So next week's episode, generational healing, what didn't start with you? We're going to figure that out. And I would like to challenge you to use magic in your everyday life, strengthen your relationships, heal, prosper, and thrive. Become aligned with that future version of yourself that you imagine that you will be, that you are becoming. All right. If you want more information on these and other topics, subjects, you can find me on social media, on Instagram at prism_healing. Follow me there because I do a lot of live sessions of card readings. I provide more information than what's here. I've done a lot of live videos before I started this podcast that has great information too. So do a little scroll in my feed and find some real treasures there. Facebook, Courtney Pearl, or Courtney Pearl's Prism Healing is my Facebook page. I have a couple of events every month. So look for Tarot for Tips, which I do at local venues or local coffee shops or anywhere that will let me set up a table and read cards. I do have a healing through art workshop. My next one is coming up this week on March 28th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Biscotts Cafe. So you need to RSVP on my website to get a spot for that. And if it's not too late, hurry to my website at prism-healing.com. And you can see all of my events, all of my services, and inquire and send me a question that will be featured on a questions for a listener. And of course, on my website is also my blog, which I post every episode, additional information and resources. So if you liked what you heard today, go there and check it out. I also have groups like the Kara Circle group, which is just an emotionally support online group that I created to address some topics that might be important in your life right now, or things you'd like to discuss, what's going on and what's hard for you right now. So please private message me on my Instagram, my Facebook, or my website, any questions that you have about magic, healing, energy, or just some personal questions that you'd like to ask me, like today's question. For some resources that were discussed today, we had the book Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die by Carol King Truman. You have Your Body Doesn't Lie by John Diamond. We have Your Body Can Talk by Susan L. Levy, DC, and Carol Lair, MP. And of course, one of my absolute favorites and the one that gets mentioned the most, The Body Keeps the Score, Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing of Trauma. So this is by Bessel van der Kolk. And those will be listed on my blog as well. So head on over there and check it out. I cannot wait to see you pop up in my DMs and say hello. If you're listening, I would love to hear from you. So I will see you again soon. Go make some magic, witches and wizards.